and welcome to another exciting episode of Best of Five, a weekly FGC podcast where we do recaps. Tonight we do previews. We also are going to talk about Samurai Spirits, not Showdown. True. And, oh no! Did Yoshinori Ono get demoted? John will have that full brief for us coming up, because he wrote that scathing article on EventHubs.com just shitting all over him. Speaking of which, we're joined by Steve, Ace King Offsuit Jurek. There he is. Oh my. He is not going to be talking at all. He'll be silent for the duration of the show. He had a major oral surgery, and as a result, we're just going to get to look at his pretty face, and he might take a nap. And John Ono Slayer Velociraptor Guerrero. He writes for EventHubs.com. And here at the desk is myself, Efren Salinas, and Michael Donka Schiller, rocking an Aladdin Jasmine shirt, looking sharp, bro.
It's true.
Yeah. It's true that you're looking sharp?
Oh, I would say those were all true. Everything you said was true.
Yep.
All true. Altruistic.
Did you guys just see me teleport? Because I just did it. Thanks a lot.
No.
Now let me just fix this here a little bit. Yeah, so like we always do, we'll have a recap, and then we are going to be previewing SoCal Regionals, one of the coolest, most important tournaments of the year, put on by Alex Valle and none other. What are you going to be talking about? Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Me specifically?
When we get to the preview, what are you previewing?
Oh, when we talk to I'll be talking about Dragon Ball FighterZ, yes.
Okay. Steve, if you could sign for us what you will be talking about in the preview.
You know what? I'm going to work through the pain.
Whoa! Look at this guy. What a trooper.
It's a Jesus miracle.
Oh, God. I'm going to be talking about Tekken 7. I'm also going to be talking about Injustice because that's the last event of the Injustice Pro Series. So there's a lot of scenarios to go over.
The fact that there isn't more events in this calendar year for the Injustice Pro Series is the real injustice.
No.
John, what will you be talking about in the preview? What game are you previewing, rather?
Street Fighter V.
Okay, cool.
So said with such conviction.
I need to take the temperature of the room here, guys.
We also need to thank Beats by Noel Brown for his 11th consecutive month of subbing, 1 month away from a year.
11 years?
It's scary that we're almost at the one-year mark. That is frightening.
Hey, but shout out to Beats by Noel Brown. Guys, temperature of the room here. Speaking of subs, a friend of mine listens only exclusively to the audio podcast, and he said, I fucking hate it when I hear, hey, I'm blocking here. It disrupts the flow of the show. It interrupts my enjoyment.
Wow.
Of Best of Five. Should we? I need a one in the chat.
We need to do it as many times as possible today.
Or two in the chat.
Turn up the volume.
Yeah,
turn
you should test it by subbing, too. Test whether you like it or not.
The funny part is the people who are affected by it are the people most likely not to be watching right now, so they don't get a vote.
You know what? So that's
let's just troll all of our listeners because we don't care.
Once again, put a one in the chat if you want us to stop playing that audio part of it. And by the way, that's none other than your boy Michael Donka Schiller doing the I'm blocking here. And a two if you want us to keep using it. Keep it going. Is that right? Did I say that right? One to get rid of it, two to keep it, three for the road, two to keep it. I'm getting a lot of twos.
All right. Well, that looks like I'm sorry, audio listeners.
We got some 69s and some 420s.
Nice.
Oh, from
audio
us
listeners
and from
can
John.
Vote by tweeting at Steve.
From us.
Yes. Or leave a comment on the SoundCloud if you to make your vote.
Yeah, and then Steve will check that and let us know.
I will. I will totally do that.
We do have somebody here with a one. Get rid of that shit. Analog sandwich. Get rid of that.
Can we ban House 987 for having a different opinion?
That's how Reddit works.
All right. Good.
So anyway, okay. We got a lot to cover as far as recap goes. Steve, hit us with it.
Yeah, it was a busy weekend once again. There was a qualifier for the Red Bull Kumite for a player to get a seeded spot in the last chance qualifier, the open qualifier, and that was won by Rass, a Russian player who you see constantly in the online event ranking, so showing he's strong offline as well. So Rass gets a trip out to Paris this November for Red Bull Kumite. Not placed in the Kumite itself, but he will be a seeded player in that last chance qualifier. Speaking of Red Bull, they hosted their Atlanta stop for the Red Bull Conquest Tour. Really strong Tekken out there, especially Spiro Jin taking it over Anakin in the grand final. You see Pokechop in top four as well. But Spiro Jin will be joined by Dot Nova, who won the Xer title, and Neon, who took Street Fighter over Magnegro. Those three will head to Washington, D.C. for the national finals later this year. Let's kick it to the Pro Tours. The Injustice 2 Pro Series had their final online event. This was the Eastern North American online event. Big win for Gurr. He was someone who hadn't really had a deep run at any of the previous events. Got some much, much needed points, as did Silverai, who took second. If we look at what those standings, what those results mean to the standings, both of those players, Silverai and Gurr, now in that top 12, which is effectively now the top 13, because Honeybee won the Elite Circuit, which is the Canadian qualifier. So he is headed to the IPS finals. Tekken Master and Happy Pow are tied for those final two spots. And of those two, Tekken Master, with the better Evo performance, has the tiebreaker. So if one player passes them this weekend, that's going to come into play.
But hey, Steve, really tight.
Yes.
Can you explain to me the Evo Tekken Master bit you just mentioned?
So there are, if players are tied, there's a certain hierarchy of tiebreakers. The very first tiebreaker is who earned more points at Evo, except that's Premier, whoever earned more points at Evo. Tekken Master earned points, Happy Pow did not. So he gets the first tiebreaker.
Steve, I have a question.
If it's what I think it is, I'm going to throw crap at you.
All right. Well, I'll have to take that chance. I'm looking at this Injustice Pro Series standings, and I want to know what your favorite time of day is.
Moving on.
Whoa, answer the man's question. Jeez.
My favorite time of the day is the time we talk about Tekken Grand Battle.
Whoa, at working on them segues.
Day Jam, you got nothing on me. what can you say? Master event, knee in the house, each knee does it again. This was the final Season 1 event. Season 1 obviously came out last week, but only 2 days between that and the start of the tournament, so the organizers decided to stick with Season 1. Knee doing it once again. Unbelievable weekend for Korea in particular. They had 8 players in the field. 7 of them made top 8, and the only reason they didn't go 8-for-8, or one of the only reasons, was because there was one quarter of the bracket that had 3 Korean players, and only 2 could get out. Only one loss for Korea all weekend, and that was KLAC in a ridiculously hyped set in top 8, taking it over Lohi, eliminating the Evo champion. But other than that, it was all Korea all the time. What that means for the Tekken World Tour standings is that a strong Korean presence remains in the top 11. You've got Fergus, who didn't really have a great weekend, still holds that last qualifying spot because Dimeback and Asim, the two closest competitors, also failed to make deep runs. So that race continues to be a tight one heading into the final few offline events. Of course, Tekken wasn't the only event at the mix-up. It was also a Capcom Pro Tour event, a ranking event.
Why come it says Tekken Grand Battle at the Mix-Up 2018 Capcom Pro Tour ranking event?
Oh, my gosh.
Because I made this when I was on painkillers. I'm still on painkillers.
Confuse all the fans.
I don't even know. Should we use this slide or should we just skip this part? Because...
there's something of value that needs to be said here.
Okay.
Phenom getting the win over Machibo in the grand finals. Congratulations for his fourth win. But look at that last name on there.
Hey, wait a second. Yeah, that's a Tekken player.
Yeah. Right. No, this is a Tekken recap.
Let's go back to the Tekken results. Can we pull up those Tekken results?
This is the Tekken result.
The actual Tekken result. Look at that. John Ding on both, making top eight at both Tekken and Street Fighter. First player this year to earn points on the Capcom Pro Tour and the Tekken World Tour.
Whoa. There's an issue there. He earned point on the Capcom Pro Tour.
Yeah.
And I believe that is his only point.
That's a good point.
He actually earned one at Evo as well.
Oh, okay. So he does have points. Plural.
He has multiple points.
Now, Steve, based on your delivery on the fact that he is the first guy to place, are you saying nobody's ever done that before or just not this year?
Not this year. I haven't done a deep dive, but I do believe Book.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah, he's earned points this year on the Capcom Pro Tour as well. I think it was either Rev Major last year or one of those other Southeast Asian events that was on both tours. But I do believe he got points last year.
Would you say that John Ding is the Korean Sonic Fox?
I think John Ding is a player who is very, very strong. It's tough to compare him
because he works out.
He is
a Grandmaster Kami player. Like, he's pretty good at Street Fighter.
That's what somebody said here in the chat, but I've
seen him play. He's good.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got players like Chris G. You've got players like Ricky Ortiz, Justin, who've been good multi-game players, very, very good multi-game players. People expect that, I think, a little less now because you see more specialization,
especially with 3D and 2D games mixed.
Absolutely. You know, it's not, there isn't that direct care, like there aren't those direct similarities than you'd see at something like Blaze Blue. John Ding, ridiculous player.
He good.
He good. He aight.
Okay. Gimas, Dennis.
All right. With that, that was the final event
here.
In Europe before the regional final. So if we take a look at the European standings, you've got four players who have locked up a spot in that day two regional final, being Phenom, Luffy, Problem X, and Swag Skeletor.
Yes.
Best names on the tour.
Also, we should thank Die by Sword.
Thank you, Die by Sword.
Nice, appreciate that, bud.
Thank you. So, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that final event pans out because you've got, you know, six players within 60 points of each other. And I believe all of them are going to be at that regional final. So if any of them can make top eight, they have a chance to play their way into that last event and earn a spot in Capcom Cup.
When is this regional final? Do you know?
That is at the end of this month, EGX. Dang.
We're getting really close to the end of the season.
Yeah.
If you've been paying attention, time has been passing.
Yeah. Only six offline events left on the Tekken World Tour. Right. You know, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Speaking of the nitty gritty, someone is back on that grind. If we go to the Treta Championship, Kaoma.
Man, Brazil did really well in this event.
They did okay. Kaoma, not a name we've seen in a while. Hasn't won since that memorable win over Tokido back in 2015. But he's back in the winner's circle, taking it over Brolinho in that grand final, leading an all Brazil top eight.
And that was with Karen, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Karen won two CPT events. That's the meme going on right now.
So
I think she's good, man. I think she's pretty damn good.
Yeah. I think we can all agree on that. Also, shout outs to Cyanide.
Clap, clap.
He said, thank you, Cyanide. Oh, man, why is that playing so crappy? No, wait. It's such a good gif. Come on. Play right. Here we go. Look at him.
Oh, it froze again.
There we go. It's very impressed.
All right.
Hey! How about that? Try it again with Satsu no Taiko.
Let's give him a good clap here. Ooh, I haven't done this one in a while.
That's the OG.
That's D-O-G.
Dog wearing a suit.
That was a terrible pun.
Steve, what's your favorite time of day?
The time of day when we talk about DreamHack Montreal.
I'm going to use that twice.
I will use it as often as I have to.
He's only got one segue, but he makes it work.
I worked the hell out of that seg. Before this, there had not been
USA.
Any American players
USA.
To reach a master event or a premier event grand final. Now there are two. Justin Wong taking over Knuckle Doo in the grand final. Problem X third. You know, we're not used to seeing Asian players locked out of the top three at big events like this, but it happened. And another win for Karen, who he went to in that grand final. Justin, you think with everything he's done, with how much success he's had, you think even in the Street Fighter 4 days, he'd had to have one premier event win. But he didn't. This was his very first premier event win in either the Street Fighter.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Because I guess when he won Combo Breaker, it wasn't a premiere yet. Interesting.
No, that was the last year it was a ranking event, if I remember correctly.
I remember, if I'm not mistaken, DreamHack Austin 2 years ago.
Hey, I'm blocking here.
Angel Hunter 48. Oh, wait, I'm not even playing it. There we go. Yes. Thank you, Angel Hunter. Justin Wong won that with Karen 2 years ago.
I mean, he won a ton of CPT events early on, but I guess they weren't premieres.
Mm. Okay. Yeah,
that was kind of the joke going around in 2016 where he's just mopping up points at ranking events and not something. Doing as well at premieres. But the guy can still play. He's still doing all right.
Nobody said he couldn't, Steve.
Well, there are corners of the internet.
I would say there are people who did say that, but yeah.
All right.
If we take a look at the global standings for the CPT, you see Justin Wong back in the top 10. Mena should be at 532. Once again, painkillers. My bad. But he's locked up a spot in the Capcom Cup.
Wait, why is... why? Okay, hang on. So...
John?
Yeah?
No.
Oh, well, no. If you don't want to hear the question I was going to ask, that's fine. We can just move on.
I don't.
Whatever you have to pay or whatever you have to say is more important. So that's fine. Let's just keep going.
It is far more important. But let's entertain it. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
No, I'm going. You go ahead and tell the people all the important stuff that you have to say, and we'll see if we have time for my 2 cents at the end. But probably not.
Probably not. The race for the final spots is getting tight once again. You see Brolinho at 430. Still a decent chunk away from 700, which is the magic number that they had wanted to be the qualifying amount. So,
hey, how come Mena's not in blue?
Because, John, what was your question?
Oh, I was going to ask why Mena's in the third category but still green, and then there's people in the first category that are green, but then there's a bunch of white in between and afterwards, and that doesn't make any sense to
yellow
me.
Yellow still isn't described.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm blocking.
And is this the Capcom Pro Tour, or is this Tekken stuff? Because I'm not sure how to read any of this. This is worthless to me. Hey, Ciro the Hero just subscribed.
Thanks, Ciro.
Steve, you're going to clap? You're going to appreciate it?
Also, what happened to the orange?
I don't know. Like, it's different every time.
Well, you can't. It's hard to follow, to be honest.
I bet, like, if Steve tried to train a dog not to get on the couch, he'd, like, train the dog to do that, and then he'd let the dog on the couch for, like, a little while, and then he'd get mad, and sometimes he would. It just doesn't make any sense.
Now, what
killers, right?
I wonder how many points Brolinho has lost, like, to Kaoma or to other Brazilian players. Like, it's interesting the way the ranking event system has worked. I wonder if he's almost been, like, held back by his own countrymen as far as qualifying. Kind of an interesting.
But on that same token, Latin America, Brazil has far more events
right
than any other country, including the Latin American regional final, that a lot of international players aren't really, might not plan on going to if they're already in Capcom Cup, because remember, that doesn't award money. So even though he's losing, thank you very much.
Thank you, Trap Black.
Even though he loses out in that sense, it's still a net gain for him being in Brazil.
I just want to disagree with Gucci Clone here that dogs should be allowed on the couch. Couches are for humans. The floor is for the dog. You can get him a comfy bed. You can even get him a little couch bed if you want.
My dog was on the couch.
Yeah, well.
Your dog is wrong, Donka.
Says a lot about you, Mike. All right, moving on. How's Cheeto, by the way?
Cheeto's doing great.
Wonderful. Steve, what do next?
That is the end of the recap.
Hey, I'm blocking here.
So,
this was a gift sub. So thank you to both of you.
Thank you to Die by Sword and Dr. Basics. I'm blocking here.
Thank you very much.
I'm blocking here.
Yeah. All right. So we're moving on to Weekend Thoughts. By Jack Handy. No, by Steve.
You guys remember
Jurek.
That?
DreamHack Montreal. What are your thoughts, Steve?
I thought it was pretty good. I'll admit that most of my attention was paid to the mix-up this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it was good to see a couple of American players do well, especially Justin and especially Knuckledew, because people kind of expect, you know, it's sort of that if you're not first, you're last mentality.
Right.
Where because Knuckledew wasn't, you know, he's a former Capcom Cup champion. If he's not winning or getting second in premier events, he obviously sucks now.
Why are we saying this about Mena?
Oh, several people are saying this about Mena.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Punk as well. Punk is someone.
Punk's getting that now, a lot.
Now, a small interesting thing to note is that, like, in Street Fighter, the top four players all use multiple characters. And we're really getting to that point where that seems to be almost, not necessarily a necessity, but it seems to be a huge boon to your play. And I don't even think it's purely a matchup thing. I think a lot of it is a change of pace thing. When you've conditioned your opponent and they've, like, finally made that turnaround in their game plan to beat your Minot and you bring out the Karen, it's not purely a matchup thing. It's a, oh, God, now the guy has to readjust his play for you. And it's been very helpful for those players. And if you notice, the bottom half of top 8 did not have multiple characters. So
the wasn't that the whole plan with this game is to make it somewhat easier to master a new character? I feel like that was a stated objective by Combo Fiend RIP back in the day.
Not RIP. Combo Fiend's name is in the brackets for SCR.
Right. I mean, with respect to him being a part of the Capcom team proper.
I thought of him as more of a function. Beat that dead horse too, baby. All day.
How do we go on? I'm not sure that we can.
I don't think we do.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of Best of 5 for today.
And forever.
there was a lot of exciting content. being streamed live this weekend. It had some good numbers too, if I'm not mistaken. UGK for life wants to know, John, what's your agenda? Chaz or John D.
So do I shill for Capcom? Am I against them? I don't know. I don't even know.
But and you're right. There's a lot of exciting variety of characters. The game's really starting to mature. It's exciting. I didn't see as many Cody's and Sagat's and G's as I'd wanted. Although K-Brad busted out his G. He's like, his stream paid for him to get there under the promise or with the promise that he was going to use G as much as possible. He did. He did not do well as he'd wanted. But shout-outs to him for doing it. I appreciate that. Do you think G is viable to win a TPT event?
Probably not solo, but as part of a crew, yes.
Do you think that Sagat is viable to win a CPT event?
No.
Do you think that Abigail is viable to win a CPT event?
Not solo, but as part of a crew, yes.
What about Bison solo?
Yeah, pretty much.
In the right hands?
Yeah.
What about Vega?
No.
Okay.
Not, and if you ever played Vega in the tournament, you was wrong. So.
Recently or ever?
Just ever.
I mean, M. Lizard beat Daigo with Vega 4 rounds straight.
And then he lost in the same tournament to Daigo.
So, anybody want to say anything else about the weekend's events before we move on to other topics and then eventually to this weekend's events, coming weekend?
I just wanted to call out UIU, who after John Ding made top 8, came out with this ad sort of for him, if we've got that. Yeah. Which looks, you know, it looks okay. But if you're of a certain age, it reminds you of a particular campaign from way, way back. Remember Bo Jackson?
Yeah.
Do you remember Bo Jackson? You know, two-sport athlete, football, baseball, ridiculous at both.
Off the Nike thing?
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty damn cool. So UIU killing it in the social media game. Shout outs to them.
Did anybody else, when you hear Bo Jackson, immediately think of BoJack Horseman because Bo Jackson's from a long ass time ago? And
I thought of Bo Jackson.
I thought of Tecmo Bowl.
Oh.
Set and basically destroying everyone.
Yeah, he was banned.
We're getting a lot of no's in the chat.
He was the Akuma of that game. You know, I don't give a crap about the chat. You're all my enemies. I hate you all.
Wow.
You know what? UGK for life. You use the wrong "your," so you're stupid.
Yeah, the proper one was "you are."
Oh God. This will probably be through some means the last Best of 5 episode.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I'm tired of doing this for these stupid losers in chat.
God damn it,
John. John. Hey, what time is Steve's favorite time of the day, John?
The time that we go to the next segment.
Aww. All right. Hey, guys. A lot of people predicted it. A lot of them were right. Samurai Showdown is getting a sequel. Sorry guys, did you kill the volume on it? Okay. So anyway, I was eager to, you know, learn more about the series. I remember thinking it was cool. It's an SNK fighter?
Yeah.
So there's this dude online on Twitter. His name is Perry, but he has this current Twitter handle as I told you it's going to be SamShow7. And this guy did a super detailed, rather awesome... it's kind of a weird place to put it on Twitter, but it could have been a blog post. It could have been anywhere else. You should check him out. He's at... In fact, I'm gonna put it in the chat, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it because it helped me educate it. So this guy, at Experimilk, goes in-depth on a lot of the stuff going on in this, a little bit of the background, some of the characters, and then... and I have a GIF of it here. Let me get it going. Hold it.
Holding.
So check that out. So this is part of the trailer, right? And he's saying, the first thing you see is Haomaru's heavy slash. Samurai Showdown is a game where normals do huge damage and have a ton of hit stop. And immediately you see that this game will be no different. Again, I'm not going to go through all this because you guys should just go through and read it. But then he's got another Gifaruni here. Let me see if I can find it.
Well, I think the biggest thing a lot of people are taking from this is that graphically it's a huge departure. from what we've seen in the past two games, which would be SNK Heroines and KOF 14. This game seems to look quite good. I think no one has complained about the graphics of this game.
People are saying it's Street Fighter 4-esque.
It's got the it's got the same like ink and it's got the ink thing going on that Street Fighter 4 had. The shaders look good, kind of like Marvel 3 almost. It just looks good, which is very, very different than what we've seen in the last two games. And it's like kind of a niche series. You know, everyone's heard of it, but not many people will actually say that they played Samurai Showdown a whole lot, or maybe they will now.
Or if you're a hipster like Steve, you'll call people out on Twitter, wow, sure, a whole lot more fans of Samurai Showdown.
That one meant to call people out, you know, but it's a joke, but... You know,
it hit close to home.
Now you know. Now you know who did play a lot was Ryan Fuberta Carvey.
Oh yeah,
Sam Show. I think guy? 5 is like one of his like his favorite games ever. And that's like what he played right. Even more than Third Strike until he had to come back and play Third Strike.
Well, maybe we can get him on the show once the game pops. And
so, how much have you guys actually played Samurai Showdowns from like the past?
I've played them casually.
The only time I've ever played is I was in a Walmart when I was like 7, and they had an arcade there, and I played one round on the arcade. But outside of that, like I've heard of it a lot, but in recent with this announcement, I've gone back and kind of looked at some of the older versions or titles in the series, and then especially watching this trailer, it looks satisfying as hell to play. It looks like when you land even just normals, you're gonna feel really good about doing it. So therefore, it looks like it's gonna be really fun, and. Combined with like the kind of gore and then like the reactions characters have to this, like is it Nakaruru who like stabs you and is like apologetic about it, like I'm sorry. Like there's a lot of character to this game, and like I'm basically coming in from totally the outside. Like I knew it existed, I played maybe a round once when I was 7 in an arcade, and that was it. And so I no game has really been appealing to me like this from the ones that I have had no experience with. So I'm kind of excited to see where this goes. Like, I'm not necessarily sold on, like, I'm going to play this game for sure, because I tend to be pretty selective about the fighting games that I end up playing. But wow, this game looks really fun and really intriguing at this very surface level.
The other thing about, I think, a lot of, like, games that come out of nowhere is a lot of them tend to be more anime-style, air-dashing-type games or assist-type games, and this one's a little more straightforward than that. So I think it'll be interesting to see how it's received for sure.
Is it all footsies? Because it seems
like all the moves do a lot of damage. You hit from far. I mean, it's got a lot of Street Fighter-esque things, but usually the combos in the old ones were shorter, and the long-hitting footsie moves were more important.
Everyone, like Soul Calibur, everyone has a weapon. Right? And so you're going to naturally have a little bit longer reach than an average character that doesn't have a weapon, right? And so it feels it's very much that respectful spacing kind of footsies game, and when I get you to overextend, I come in for the kill. And is it like one or two touches and you're dead?
I wouldn't say one or two, but I mean, they're big hits.
According to that long thread that I suggest you guys read on Twitter that I linked in the chat, you can like bet meter to do one-hit kills. I'm not sure how that. I'm not as familiar with the game, but that sounds cool.
Sounds injustice-y.
I think it's hitting a sweet spot where, you know, it's a big enough name where you have a lot of people that are familiar with it and have the attachment to it, but it's not necessarily so ingrained that you can't take some chances with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we might see a few new directions out of this series, and I don't think people would mind it as opposed to, you know, doing something completely wacky with a Street Fighter or a Mortal Kombat.
I think you're right. I think almost anyone who's a Sam Show fan is probably just going to be happy that they're getting another one this many years later, even if it's got some new stuff.
It's way, way early, but and so like if we're wrong here, whatever, it's not a big deal. But a lot of these games will come out, they'll have a little short lifespan, and then they'll kind of, as far as like the competitive realm goes, kind of fall into the background. And I don't know that we've ever seen Samurai Showdown in tournaments, like not since I've been in the FGC, and I don't know if it's, you know, before that. But will this game have any kind of competitive run, or will it be just little, like, as far as the competitive scene goes, this little like, oh cool, that's happening, and then play it casually sometimes?
Hold on 1 second, Steve, just to let you know, somebody in the chat did say that there was a Samurai Showdown tournament at Evo this year.
Yeah, what's up, John? Really? Where are you at?
Yeah,
I was probably in my room watching The Princess Bride.
that's
which
specific.
Was great. Yeah.
What I'd worry about more is simply that there's so many games out there, so many good games, that just being a good game isn't enough to get you a whole lot of attention, because there's so many properties out there. Tekken's in a good spot. Street Fighter, a lot of people still like that.
Damn, Steve. Is that the nicest you could be?
You know,
there's people who still like that.
I'm just saying.
The most honest thing Steve's ever said.
I'm saying that the people who like the game like the game. The people who don't like the game don't like the game. And there's not a whole
like
lot changing in the last couple years.
Sorry,
but
Damon.
It still has a very large audience, and it's still
there are still people that acknowledge it as a game that exists in the world sometimes.
Oh my god. The other thing I'm worried about more than that is what kind of support is SNK going to give it? Because if you remember, we're just coming off of the end of the SNK World Tour, which was supported by SNK, but didn't really have a whole lot behind it from what the company did. It was just sort of like, there's a tournament. Like you follow their Twitter, like, there's a tournament. And that was it. There wasn't really a hub for any of that. There wasn't a way to gather information. There wasn't really a whole lot of cross-promotion. Like, if you're at this event, be sure to check out what's going down in this other country in 3 weeks for our next stop. That's what I think SNK needs to do, and needs to do well, if there's going to be any sort of big esports/tournament scene behind this game, because so many other companies are doing that. That's an expectation now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, King of Fighters fans haven't gotten anything in a little bit. SNK Heroines doesn't really seem to be much of a competitive game and has controversies of its own. KOF 14 has kind of waned in support quite a bit. You wonder how many, but the games are so different, King of Fighters and Samurai Showdown, you can't really expect all the KOF people to just hop over to Samurai Showdown. They're not the same game. They're not really close. I think you'll get some of those guys. I think you'll get some of these, you know, out of nowhere Samurai Showdown guys, old game guys. And I think you'll get a few people from Street Fighter who just want to play another 2D kind of footsie game. I doubt it'll be super popular. I think it'll be in that kind of like gets a side tournament slash maybe one of the less entered main tournament games. But yeah. I don't think it'll be lower than that. Like, I think it'll be more popular than Fexel.
You think it'll be more popular than
Fexel? Yes.
The question I have is, you know, it's obviously a massive investment to make a new fighting game for these game companies, right? Or any new project. But, you know, it's already a niche market in and of itself. Aren't there? I mean, it's getting pretty saturated, right? And there are some big games that are taking a lot of the players. Your Smashes, talking about you, Danka, Dragon Ball, Street Fighter, and then like the second tier games. I'll even put Injustice in there. Well, I'll put Tekken. I think could be in tier one. Keep going down and down and down. Is it worth making? Are we getting a little oversaturated here with fighting games?
Well, I mean, you got to look at it from like just casual sales too. Mortal Kombat. You know, the NRS games, for instance, they have their little spikes in tournament play, and then they change out fairly rapidly, right? And then, like, I think the community has kind of understood that, like, okay, every 2 years there's going to be a new game. So I put my training and my efforts into things appropriately. But, I don't know, like, I kind of forgot how I was.
No, it's casual.
So like Mortal Kombat's one of like when Mortal Kombat X came out, it was like I think the number one selling fighting game or something like that, like absolutely of the year or maybe of all time or something. I don't know. It broke some records, but I mean, and we saw plenty of it in the fighting game community. But you know, it was never really bigger than Street Fighter. But as far as like casual sales, it outsold the crap out of Street Fighter. So. But does something like Samurai Showdown or Samurai Spirit, is that going to reach the casuals market all that much? I don't know.
Probably not. I mean, if you look at things, by the way, thank you to the Mandy David for subscribing.
Appreciate you.
There isn't really, other than Dragon Ball, which is like a very special case, right? every game that's been near the top has historical precedent as a popular game. Mortal Kombat, you know, that has like literal pop culture relevance. Mortal Kombat, Marvel vs. Capcom, which has Marvel and was a popular game back in the day. Street Fighter, Tekken. What else has been popular?
Smash Bros.
Like, these are games that have all been going for a long time and are games that people outside of the scene have heard of. For a game like Samurai Showdown, which very few people that weren't, you know, actively going to arcades in the 90s and or are already in the FGC have heard of, it's hard to believe it'll reach a huge casual market.
Yeah. We'll see. It could be a fantastic game. And word of mouth. It is. I just don't feel like, at large, I almost feel like the popularity of the fighting game community has turned off the at-large casual market to fighting games. Because it's like, oh, shit, if I'm going to play a fighting game, I got to be serious. Not, man, a new fighting game, let's have some fun. I could be wrong on that, but there might be
something. Well, I think there are a lot of people that, like, oh, I like that game, and they buy it, like, whether that be a Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or whatever. And it's one of those games they buy, they play for a little bit, and then it just collects dust on their shelves. But they still purchased it, you know, so...
And I still think the biggest barrier to that isn't necessarily, you know, the pro scene or anything like that. It's that fighting games as a whole suck at teaching people how to play fighting games. You know, if someone picks up a FIFA or a Madden or an NBA 2K, they know the rules of, you know what the rules of soccer are. You know what the rules of football are. You know what the rules of basketball are. With a game like Street Fighter or Tekken, you create those rules from scratch. So you have to do a good job of teaching people what they can and can't do, what they should and shouldn't do, more importantly. And I just feel like so many games have not been good at that. If one of these major titles, if a Tekken or a Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat nails that, I think you'll see a big, big boost in the popularity of that game.
Yeah, that's definitely been more of an anime thing for a long time, going all the way back to, like, I remember buying BlazBlue CT, and it came with a DVD with tutorials on every character made by, you know, players of the game.
Yeah.
And Eunice
Mike Z was
now.
On that with his terrible Russian accent.
So, I mean, that's something that should hopefully, as Steve said, kind of transfer over to non-anime games, hopefully.
Okay. We were curious, what other games deserve to be revived, resuscitated, reborn in the modern era of fighting games? And we put the question to Twitter. Steve, take it away.
Sure. We asked what the series should get rebooted. Damascus says literally every fighting game series is being brought back to life right now. Why couldn't Bloody Roar be one of them? Please. That'd be pretty cool. Brian says Marvel. That hurts. Azen 1984 says with no hesitation, Rival Schools needs to be brought back. Let's go to Moto never has an interesting display name, which I find to be an interesting display name. Big Bang Beat because he has no soul. Abe Laws wants to bring back Fighter's Destiny. I love the different take than most fighting games have right now. You know, that's the one with the point system where, you know, you've got you got to get 8 points and you get 3 for a knockdown, 2 for a takedown, what have you. And then Junkyard Gary Disco wants to bring back Bushido Blade.
Where's Clay Fighter?
Someone else mentioned Clay Fighter specifically for you. You know, this was one of those ones that got, like, so many responses that it was impossible to get most of them represented, but Rival Schools is popular. Bloody Roar, there are a couple others that were brought up a few different times.
I'd have to make like a separate email for all the sponsorship inquiries if they announced Clay Fighter, like 128 and 9/10 or whatever it is. So
Yuki Burry specifically called you out for
having those infinites.
Clay Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, Power like Stone was another one.
I don't even know what that is. But when we would go to, what is it? And I always flip these two, but when we go to arcades back in the day, you would see Street Fighter and you would make a mental note of it. You'd be like, oh, that's Street Fighter. And there is a special intrigue about it. You would see Mortal Kombat, same thing. And I think Mortal Kombat, a big part of that was, you know, the visuals, the fatalities and things like that. There was like a reason to draw you in and a reason to set it apart from the other games. You had like your Virtual Fighters and KOF, and those were fun games and they were worthwhile and such. But for the casual crowd just walking through the arcade, not specifically looking for a fighting game, there were certain titles that popped up and stuck in your minds more than others. And I think that Primal Rage was one of those.
I agree.
That it was Street Fighter and it was Mortal Kombat, and then for sure, and there's probably others, but for sure Primal Rage, because the characters, there was something about like being able to fight as a dinosaur.
I agree.
And fight gorilla. As like a giant, yeah, gorilla, a couple guy. Versions. And they had fatalities, and they had like the, if you actually like went into it and played it, like they were all gods that were being worshipped, and you could like eat the worshippers off the ground. Like it was a pretty interesting and different game. And I don't know when the last how many Primal Rages there were, one or two, I think, and then like how long ago it's been since we've seen any action on that front. But if they brought back a Primal Rage in with like today's tech and standards and graphics and everything, I think that would not only be awesome in and of itself, but it would also pique interests and wake up some memories from like when you were going to like the movies as a kid and you went through the arcade and that was one of the games there. You would remember that and you would go, dude, I'm at least checking that out. And imagine what they could do with a game like that. I think Primal Rage is a huge candidate that might not pop up in a lot of people's minds immediately.
I believe Wizard claims he was like the best at this game. And so it would probably make it into Evo too.
I just think it would be so tough to get people excited about, oh man, it's dinosaurs fighting monsters. Yeah.
Excites me.
Yeah, radical. That sounds great. What's wrong with that?
Shut up, Steve. What do you have against dinosaurs?
I have nothing against dinosaurs.
just velociraptors. They suck.
I think Godzilla is a pretty good movie.
I mean, they're characters. I mean, you could describe anything like generally like that.
Hey, guys.
Like, you could describe Street Fighter as pitting racial stereotypes against each other. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe people would probably want to play that, so who knows? I mean, I don't know.
How about we do a block grab on some of those suggestions?
Sure.
All right.
Block. Grab. All right, guys. Starting off our block grab would be with Bloody Roar. John,
I don't remember what Bloody Roar is. Remind me, because when I hear Bloody
you
turn, Roar,
you can be a human or
Rage.
You can turn into an animal.
Ooh.
So like, there's a guy, there's like a Yakuza dude who's a chameleon. There's like a hot girl who's a bunny. There's like
Are
a lot
there
of
any
things.
Any dinosaurs?
Like that. I don't remember a dinosaur.
There's a wolf dude.
I'll grab it because I think that I think people would. I do remember it. Yeah, I'll grab.
I don't even want to think about how good Sonic Box would be at this game.
Yeah, if you market this to the furry audience, this is a home run.
I quit before I start.
I got to grab.
I grabbed too. This game was awesome. Yeah. I love this game. This is like, I think everyone has a fighting game they liked as a kid to play with their friends, and this was mine. Other than Smash,
is Bloody Roar better than Primal Rage?
Yeah. Well,
chat.
Yes
chat,
or no?
Which one's better? Let us know. Because
I love
Rage
both.
Was basically like Rampage, the fighting game.
Yeah.
And you shut your dirty mouth, Steve.
I think Bloody Roar was better.
Elon, block or grab better. On.
Well, G's already in Street Fighter V, so
he's not a gorilla.
Yeah, but it's still G. So it's close enough. So okay. Block.
All right. Why not?
This game does have to happen.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Okay, moving on to Primal Rage.
Also grab.
Grab, Steve?
Block.
Why?
Because it's like dinosaurs fighting monsters. Totally radical. I just feel that going so long.
Who hurt
so
you, Steve?
Easily. Not a dinosaur. Not a dinosaur.
I mean, Tekken can be bears fighting kangaroos.
Yeah, fighting tiny little orange dinosaurs.
There are other options. It's like everything is... I just don't see it going well in this day and age. I'm sorry.
John, block or grab on Primal Rage? Yeah.
Grab.
Elon, block or grab Primal Rage?
So, in Brazil, when I still lived in Brazil, my dad took me to an arcade, and I saw Primal Rage.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody do, I think it was the equivalent of Fatality, where they were a giant gorilla, and they kicked this dinosaur into the, like, the ocean.
Yeah.
And it was dope.
Yeah.
So I never figured out how to do it, so grab just so I can figure out how to do it.
Assuming that they have the gorilla kick a dinosaur into the ocean move?
Yes.
Okay. So that sounds like almost grabs all around except for the party pooper. How about blocker grab on rival schools?
Am I going first again?
Okay. Yeah, go for it, Mike.
The game's kind of cool. Like, I'm kind of against Capcom diverting attention away from Street Fighter to make weird niche games. So I'm going to actually block. Sorry.
Steve?
I don't understand, you know, with how much everyone loves school uniforms, I don't understand why this hasn't been brought back yet. This is, from a sales standpoint alone, easy grab.
All right, easy grab. John,
I hate school. Forget it.
Yeah, block.
Elon?
I like doing air combos a lot, so grab.
That's a grab on Rival Schools. That was split down the middle, wasn't it? That's a 50-50
I also don't think
grab.
Rival Schools is that good of a game. I'm going to be honest.
I'm not into like the schoolgirl senpai kind of thing. You know, like I don't have a body pillow or anything.
There
like
was
that.
Like
that,
a.
That is exactly what someone with a body pillow would say.
I just really like kicking people like 30 feet into the air and then jumping.
What was that one? The like the soccer player guy that had a
yeah. You could and they just fly in the air and then you have to jump after.
There are
them.
Cool weird. Characters in the game. I'll give them that.
Yeah, there were some cool characters. There was like a teacher lady. There was like a teacher guy. There was like a student boy and like a student girl.
There was like the bully team. That's who I like.
There was one student girl.
There was
one student girl in rival schools.
There was like a soccer player guy. There was a dude with a bat, Cracker Jack, something or other.
All
right.
Somebody just brought up the idea of best of five body pillows, and you can collect all four. And I think that that needs to happen. If anybody. wants to make the
wow,
best of
that would be a good idea.
I could just put mine out.
I mean, we may away. Charge licensing fees for the millions of dollars you're about to make, but they'll be small.
I do not want to share a bed with me. Why would I want anyone else to share a bed with me? Come
actually,
on.
They're just four different poses of Elon. Yes, Elon?
I'm down to do that.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Moving on to one that I'm not ashamed to admit, I've never heard of Fighter's Destiny. Somebody tell me what the fuck that is.
Was that the Xbox one? Or no, was that Battle Fantasia? Oh, Fighter's Destiny. I honestly get these games confused,
that,
but I'm going to block.
That's the one with the point system.
Yeah.
Where you have, like, you got to earn 8 points. Like, if you score
knockdown. Nintendo 64 game, they're saying.
Yeah. And it shows up in like a bunch of different mystery game tournaments. I would grab it. You know, I think it's different enough that it would be cool to see. You know, I wasn't really playing it growing up, but I think I would appreciate it now. So grab.
John?
No, but when you say N64, it makes me think of NHL Hits. And couldn't you fight in that? Yeah, I think that we should just bring back the instead of this idea, whatever.
Love
it was.
Love NHL Hits.
It's a great game.
Yeah, we should just bring back NHL Hits, but as a fighting game where it's only when you fight each other. I think that'd
be a good game.
Now, the rest of the game is pretty tight. I was undefeated as Detroit Red Wings. Me and my bro.
Yeah,
played the shit out of that game.
Good for you.
You think
man.
I played it?
I'm
going to
say you, Red Wings.
Oh, come on now. All right, Elon, Fighter's Destiny.
Well, I'm all about games that are about self-improvement and about pushing the human body to newer heights. Mm-hmm. So a game where it's not about killing your opponent, it's about scoring points for yourself, I'm all about. So,
all right, sure. So, no, that's great.
So I'm a block.
Oh, God, it's a man of culture.
Did you hear he blocked it?
Yeah, he blocked
I'm
it,
kidding.
Steve.
I'm going to grab it.
I'm going to grab it. All right, moving on, guys. Let's keep this going. Bushido Blade.
Block. I don't remember what this game is.
Was that the one-hit kill game?
I don't know.
May have been. God, we're a bunch of scrubs. I don't even know.
There was one game where you...
Yeah, that was the one-hit kill game.
Yeah, that was
the one-hit kill game.
That is the ultimate, like, if your party sucks, bust that out and just have everybody, like, just have a tournament.
Sounds kind of fun now that you mention that.
Because it's all just spacing.
I like one-hit kill games.
One hit and that's it. It's sick. And then there's always going to be like this 3-year-old that comes in and just destroys everyone because they don't know and they accidentally throw their sword and it kills people and stuff like that. And good times. Just that's I'll grab when it's my turn.
I will say this. The first time I saw this game and played it, I hated it because it's like one hit. Come on. But now as I've grown and matured, I think it was really ahead of its time. So I would grab this.
Well, I hate combos. So yeah, any one hit game is tight. I'm going to grab retroactively.
Come from a guy that made top 32 at Evo 1 year in Marvel.
I hate combos. I hate games with combos. But I don't like sitting there while the other guy's comboing me.
Yeah, but what about comboing the other guy?
I've gotten like really impatient as time has gone on with fighting games. Like I just don't want to like watch someone else do a combo
anymore. All right. So we got a block turned into a grab over here, right?
Yes.
Steve, you grabbed it?
I grabbed.
Juanelo, you grabbed it? All right. Elon, tell us a story.
Well, you know how they have rock, paper, scissors tournaments at some of these?
Is that what this basically is?
Yeah, why not just have that instead?
Block. All right. Moving on.
I meant, like, why not have the game instead of the rock, paper, scissors tournament?
No, I like rock, paper, scissors better.
Well, you're dumb.
Jesus.
Mike, Clay Fighters.
This game was very ahead of its time. The humor is great. The presentation is great. The idea is funny. It'd be easy to make good graphics for because it's cartoony. Sounds like a win to me. I think they should make this like a cheapo game, and it would be awesome. People would love it.
Okay.
Grab.
Steve?
Yeah. I would not pay more than $20 for anything Clay Fighter related because I do not think it would be.
I love it so much.
Yeah. I'll grab it if it costs less than 20.
Anything remember more how than that?
2001?
Someone block. Acquired the company that made it. I can't remember who.
John, what'd you say?
You remember the Blob, Donka?
Yeah, of course I remember the Blob.
Okay. Remember how he had a move where he would turn into a horse? Windshield wiper blades?
Windshield wiper, okay, just, yeah.
And like clean you off the windshield because you're like a piece of shit? That's what I feel like doing to Steve right now because of his opinions being so shitty. I'm going to grab on Clay Fighter.
God, I love that game.
Elon?
Remember that character Zombie?
Yeah.
Where like if you like tried to walk back too far, he would just fall. I hated that guy. Block.
All right. I did not play this next game, guys, and this is a long-ass block or grab, but we're going to Toe Ball.
I don't know what that is, Block.
I don't know either.
I never played it. I will block. I will take all of your hate, chat. I will take all of it.
I'm going to grab it because I don't know what it is.
Smart. That's a good way to go through life.
this makes me uncomfortable, Block. Power Stone.
Hey, I want to, real quick, yeah. Does the chat know about Twinkle Star Sprites? It's not really a fighting
yeah,
game.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know all about Twinkle Star Sprites. We used to have tournaments at Arcade UFO.
Dude, we should play some Twinkle Star Sprites online.
Was that the game that was the final game for Mystery Game Tournament on 2017 at Combo Breaker?
I don't remember what the final
Mystery is. Is it like a shoot 'em up where you can like super each other or whatever?
It's like Raiden or like Galaga kind of, but you and Tetris and sort of, I guess, fighting games because you send stuff.
It's like a shooter fighter, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Okay, I'm looking at Toe Ball number one, and because somebody said it was a good game.
When I hear Toe Ball, I think of Turok, which is a game I loved.
I don't think it has anything to do with one another, but
I like Turok too, but I bet Steve doesn't.
I did not like Turok.
Yeah, no.
You really didn't like Turok?
I never had an N64.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
So much is wrong with me.
No, you know what? I'm with
Turok
Steve.
Turok is so sick.
No, I'm with Steve. I played it on the PlayStation 2, and it was not great.
I don't hate it. I just...
I'm so mad.
I never got into it.
Toe Ball looked pretty tight, by the way.
It was a game that I didn't buy.
Were wonky, but it still was fun.
Dude, back in the 64 days, Turok was the shit, Steve. Go check yourself.
Well, apparently the chat hates Turok, too. I'm mad. I'm with John. I hate the chat.
Yeah, this chat garbage.
All right, guys, we're actually moving on to Power Stone. Power Stone, block or grab?
It's not. It's like
fun little 3D,
barely a fighting game. Probably more than Smash, but less than a fighting game. block.
All right, that's a block. Steve,
I don't personally care for it, but I have too many friends who do, so I would grab.
Okay, John,
I don't know. to block because I don't like things that are different from what I know.
Elon?
So, Capcom Cup 2016, when they revealed the Season 2 characters, I actually did an interview for Yahoo Esports when that was still around. Mm. And I had given my theory that I thought all of the Silhouette people were Power Stone characters because it looked like the first Power Stone. And I still have my first Power Stone disc in my Dreamcast, so I'm going to grab the shit out of that.
It's a cool game. I just don't think it would do anything if they release a new
one. Like, it's like Dragon Ball Mini. You collect the gems, and then you turn super, and then you kill your friends.
Sounds fun.
And now for the last game for Block Grab. Star Wars, Masters of Terra Scassi. If you saw
I'm really
Solo, a Star Wars story, character Kira at one point, I don't know if you know, if you've watched it, she fights. She's like, oh, I've been training them in the arts, Terra Scassi.
I got top 8 at a UFGT before it was Combo Breaker and lost in this game, and I hate it forever.
Dude, you could be a Gamorrean guard. You could be a sand person.
If I could play as young Anakin, maybe.
Pre-Jedi powers?
Like little kid.
Little kid Anakin.
This is tense. Maybe. That'd be the only situation where I would say yes.
I'm going to take that as a grab. Steve?
It's not. It's not a grab.
Do I want to see this game? Short answer, no. Long answer, no. Block.
John, block or grab on
it? Here's my thoughts on if they were to bring this back in 2018, there's a lot of negativity that surrounded that game. It was very broken. I remember seeing it in like Target, and it was just the demo version. You could only play two characters, and you couldn't play the cool characters, but it was Star Wars and fighting games, which was amazing in and of itself and still would be. If they brought this back in 2018, you know Darth Maul would be a character. You could play in a fighting game as Darth Maul.
Yeah, Steve, that would be a good pick.
You could play in a fighting game as Darth Maul. Grab.
You say that as if I care.
You're such a piece of shit human being, Steve. I cannot believe.
If you think Star Wars Episode 1 was the best Star Wars, put any number in the chat. Any number. Or letter.
Getting my 69420 right now. Or letter, or word, or type in the chat, or be in the chat. And it's easily, like, the first... Okay, so episode
Look
one was
that.
Easily
episode
the best.
Look at that! Episode one is killing it!
It had
Darth Maul. Killing it!
And if a fighting game had Darth Maul, it would be the best fighting game. So, boom. And Steve would probably play Sebulba.
Oh, Zero Style, look at these. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there we go.
Steve would play a Dubak, because it's a dinosaur. Looking
play a Rancor. Thing.
That was... the best block grab we have ever
done. Well, Elon has not blocked a grab on Star Wars Master of Terra Scassi. Bring us home, pal.
Does anybody know what the input is to actually turn on the lightsaber?
No.
Yeah.
There we go. We're back. Hi.
I feel like ending
Those
the show,
of you
guys.
Just joining us, Elon blocked. He's
should
one
probably
tier
start
below
to speed through a lot of these
no.
categories.
We should just skip the show. SNK Heroines is out. Apparently, it's a shit game. And some people are offended by the premise of the story, which is that some creep grabs a bunch of female fighters, makes them dress in kinky shit, and it's his fetish. And he literally, watches them. Look at that.
There are a lot of cultural differences.
Is that Kukri or Kukri or whatever?
Yes, it's Kukri. There's a lot of cultural differences between the U.S. and Japan, and this one does not flow over well.
And the people that are going to want to play this game are... probably down with
well,
that.
They're gonna love that.
Is this a Nintendo Switch exclusive?
Yes, it is. It's a Nintendo Switch, or I think
physically. It's a physical Switch exclusive, but it's also available digitally on PS4.
Yeah, so it's a game that a lot of people are understandably going to be kind of upset by. It's also very toned down from a regular fighting game as far as mechanics go. There's no crouching. You can't kill them by health bar. You have to do super. I looked at it, and I've seen a little bit of footage, and I don't think, like, some KOF and SNK people will play it, but this is not going to be a tournament fighting game. And when you add on the controversy, I think this game is going to flop pretty hard any sort of competition goes ever.
Let's just talk about it in terms of is it too offensive and therefore should be, like, not played. Boycott it or something like that. Where do we stand on that?
You shouldn't. I don't think we're at boycott level. It's not like it has Muhammad in it.
Well, is this offensive, like, to the point where it's harming the society with the messages that it's putting forward?
Potentially.
The messages are pretty bad. Yet again, it's a lot of cultural differences, but they're bad. Like, they're ones that, you know, we don't really accept here. So, I don't know.
I think it's sort of this... There's so many layers to this that we can't even get into. One of them is, you know, at the end of the day, these are all fictional characters. So should we really get upset at, you know, what happens to a fictional character? It's a story. It's a bad guy doing a bad thing. I get that. There's also the aspect of, well, yeah, the character, this bad guy character is doing all these horrible things, but yet it's another case of, you know, us putting men in sexualized situations,
voyeurism and such,
putting some level of separation so that we can do it, but we can blame the character because they're the one putting them in.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
it's just there's so much going on, and it's
objectify women.
Yes, but for that,
is it something that we should be upset about?
For the reason that Steve said, where you can blame it on a character within the game universe, I don't think it becomes a situation. It is thin. I agree, and I personally don't really care for the game, but I don't think it's like literally take off the shelves level offensive. I think it's like you might just not want to play this game.
So, and I think this would be a different conversation if SNK Heroines was, you know, a solid game as a fighter, because that's as a fighting game, it's not that good. I mean, you have a block button, so you can't do left right mix ups. You have no crouch ability, so you can't go high low. You have to save your super basically to get the kill. So all you really have is either basic attacks or throws. And it's just, you know, as a fighting game, on its own merits, it's not that strong. So all we really have to talk about is this aspect of it. If it's something like DOA or any other fighting game that, you know, like there's levels of objectification in Street Fighter that we're okay with because Street Fighter is... You know, there's more of a game beyond just that. Whereas with SNK or Heroines, it's a dress-em-up game with some fighting throwing.
So, truth be told, I never would even have looked at this game outside of us playing the trailers on the show until I saw this tweet from Ultra David. And this is what the tweet reads. I read a review of SNK Heroines saying that the plot is that a shady dude kidnapped a bunch of women, dressed them in skimpy outfits, and made them fight for his amusement. And they canonically hate it and are visibly embarrassed by it. Is that true? What the fuck are y'all doing playing this game, let alone supporting it financially?
If it was just, you know, the tough thing about any conversation about this is that if you look at it just in a vacuum, I think there's room for a story like this or, you know, a plot like this in and of itself. The problem is... It's part of a culture where we've seen where there are so many things, clearly negative things that exist already, that if there's any sort of negative aspect to the game, if there's anything that could be considered offensive, there's going to be pushback. And there's also going to be pushback saying, oh, it's not a big deal. And in a vacuum, I don't think it is, but you can't... You know, anytime you have this, it's going to be part of a bigger conversation that has so many layers, so many points of view that you can't untangle it.
Yeah, thankfully the game kind of sucks and isn't really meant to be competitive, so it's really just not going to matter.
Hey, speaking of DOA, it's being released on February 15th. Tekken 7 announced some online events for PlayStation 4 only, no PC. Tekken 7 also has a hotfix coming tomorrow. What's getting fixed?
I got it. Eliza's super is currently unblockable. They're fixing that. There was a bug with Lars where he can get a ridiculous amount of damage off of a 12-frame punish. That's basically like getting almost a kill combo on a 4-frame punish in Street Fighter. There are a couple of more damage fixes for Katarina and for somebody else whose name I currently don't remember, along with some bug fixes. And there's one bug that's hilarious where Josie's super, she turns to look at her eyes look at her opponent while her face is facing the camera. So her eyes bug out, and it's hilarious. I hope they don't fix that. Yeah. Okay.
I'm hearing a lot that people are saying that Lars is going to get destroyed by this patch. Can anyone expand on that? Because I actually am just kind of interested.
Elon,
like
in 30 seconds or less.
Well, because you said he kills you basically in a four frame punish sort of a thing, right? So
yeah. What's happening is, and it's a very unique situation where he does have to have rage meter, which means his health has to be at a certain threshold. I think he'll be fine. I think it's just one of those things where the cancel time that they added for the recovery of this of his rage drive is just a little shorter than they intended it to be. And I actually have the changes here. Brian, one of his moves his taunt is getting converted back to season one. The Lars thing, Katarina Shaheen is getting damage reduction because some of his moves dealt more damage than they intended. Master Raven has input windows issues that are now fixed, and Eliza's thing got fixed, and Anna's thing got fixed. So
cool. Thanks, bro. All right. I totally forgot that we were doing previews for SoCal Regionals, so let's wrap up this next shit. Ono, Yoshinori Ono, apparently got demoted. Apparently he didn't. It's just not going to change, is what I heard from a reliable source. It's going to stay the same. Moving on. Esports Ecosystem has sponsored K-Brad and Sharegenix. These are the dudes that are doing the, they want to create the currency of esports via Bitcoins, and they're about to go live with that, I think.
It's an interesting time to be doing all this. That's not Bitcoins, it's other coins. Their coins.
It's a completely different cryptocurrency.
Because which, by the way, are down like 9 to 10% today or something like insane.
Yeah, it's based off of the A-Chain crypto.
That shit goes over my head. I'm not as super interested in it. But maybe on a separate day, we can have Lachi come in and explain to us, because I believe he's the founder of this company. Anyway, they picked up K-Brad and Sharegenix. They're going to send their asses to SoCal Regionals. All right. What we've all been waiting for. Did y'all see the lines out there for Smash Brothers Ultimate in New York outside of a Best Buy?
I don't understand waiting in line to play a single match.
A demo, even.
Of, like, a demo of a game. Like, you're not going to garner... Maybe if, like, you're one of those people who's, like... gonna stream this and get views on it, I get it, but like whatever floats your boat. It's just crazy to me.
There's a lot of people who want to play this game.
You're telling me that if Capcom announced, hey, we're dropping Street Fighter 6 pretty soon, and if you show up at Capcom Cup, you get to play a game on it.
No,
you're
telling if you me show up at Best Buy. Is this at a Best Buy?
Yeah. I believe so. In New York,
if you show up at Best Buy, then you'll get to play around. It's like, I don't know. I wouldn't.
Shout out to that one person that held up the umbrella in non-rainy condition. Oh, maybe it was raining.
Maybe it's for like...
I think you guys are just hating that your game wouldn't have that many people waiting to play it.
My game is Smash.
No, okay, no. All right. No, what we're really waiting for is the preview.
I'll go real quick.
Well, since Steve is doing two, how about we start with Steve and then we end with Steve?
All right.
Tekken.
Big week, yes. Big weekend for Tekken at SCR. It's one of two events on the Tekken World Tour. There's also Rev Major that's going to have some of the top Asian players out there, including Ni, Chanel, and Take. But looking at SCR, this is going to be the last tournament on U.S. soil this season. So this is a big, big opportunity for several players who are right along that bubble. Remember, the top 19 get in. SCR is going to have number 16, Joey Fury, number 18, Jimmy J. Tran, number 20, Dimebag, and number 21, Speed Kicks. All of them are in the field. If you look at Joey Fury, the big thing is he's gone out, he's gotten results at a bunch of different places. He went to Poland, he went to Denmark, he went to UK, but he hasn't really had that big top three finish, top two finish. This would be his best chance, arguably, to get it, because by Tekken World Tour points, he's the top seed this weekend. Dimebag is a guy who has been kind of sliding down the standings for the last couple months. You know, he was in strong position, and he hasn't really had those big, big results. This last weekend at the mix-up was a bit of a missed opportunity because Fergus didn't do well. It was his chance to go up. He needs to get top six, I believe, to move into qualifying position. Top four. He needs to at least get top four to move in, and that could change depending on how Nobi does and how Jimmy J and Speed Kicks do. But one name I want to call out right now, Shadow. Shadow is someone who's been on the come up all year. He's going to be a threat, and especially now since, you know, he's one of the best Claudio players in the U.S., and that is a character who's looking pretty good right now. He's got a pretty decent path out of his pool. He would face either Dimeback, Junya, or Rixta to get into top eight, assuming all of them stay on the winner's side. I think he could make some real, real noise this weekend.
Thank you, Steve, for that. Moving on to Dragon Ball FighterZ.
All right. So unlike the other Pro Tours, Dragon Ball FighterZ doesn't have points that accumulate throughout events. And this one is a radar event, not one of the main events.
Mm-hmm.
So the winner of this isn't going to move on to the grand finale. Instead, they're going to get a trip to one of the future, you know, premiere events. I don't remember exactly what they call them. That being said, there's still some big names there. Sonic Fox is there. He was not in France at the last major event, so this will be the first time we've seen him in a big event since the patch has dropped. That does not really seem like it's going to be a problem for him. He's still playing various teams. Most of his characters weren't really nerfed, and he's shown that, I mean, he won Evo with a different team than he won the premiere before that with, and it was three different characters. Oh. So no patch is gonna deter him at all. The next biggest name is Kazunoko.
Heard of him.
Who has won a premiere over Sonic Fox and notably changed one of the characters on his team. He's playing Gotenks now. That's going to be a big move you'll see a lot of people make, is the Kid Buu to Gotenks move, because now Gotenks is probably the best character with one of those really long assists.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have made that change. Doggirl will be there. His results have actually waned quite a bit.
Mm.
He started off Dragon Ball as like clearly number three, basically, behind Sonic and Goichi, and since then he's fallen a bit. He didn't do as well at Summit. He didn't do as well at a bunch of these other premieres. Be interesting to see what he does with the new patch. And then the big Americans who we haven't really seen post-patch yet are going to be, you know, Reynald, Breaker Dave, Chris G., a few guys like that. Notably, the Kill Sage and Cloud and Nakiel and Apology Man all were in France, and they all did well. But, you know, they've already lost to a few of the guys who are going.
Did you mention Hook Gang God?
Hook Gang God is not going, as far as I understand, got second in France.
Okay.
I think a few players are really focusing on the premier events at this point. So this one's a little less deep of a crowd, but still, I mean, the top 16 is going to be all guys that you have heard of or people who beat guys that you have heard of. It's going to be a good event. I think the patch has made the game a lot more balanced, so I think you will see a lot more variety in teams. There's still a pretty notable top tier. You know, you're going to see a lot of Bardock, Cell, Gotenks, Android 16, stuff like that. But it's not going to be quite to the level. Hey, and I think you're going to see some guys like Breaker Dave who are playing, you know, Majin Buu make more of a splash than they did before.
Anybody you got to win it?
I think Sonic's going to win. Yeah. I mean, Kazunoko would be the best threat to his throne. But I think a new patch only helps Sonic more than everyone else. He's already shown that he can bounce around with no problem whatsoever. And I think he's going to do that. And I think he's going to win that way.
Shoutouts to Beaver for the win and XDRD Magnegro X for subbing to the show.
I'm pulling for Magnegro.
Yeah, and good job at Red Bull. Got second at Red Bull, unfortunately, but still a good showing.
John, you got a Street Fighter V preview for us?
Yeah, I'll do real quick here. That's okay. So the Capcom Pro Tour, of course, is kind of beginning its final chapters. There's still a good bit left to play.
You mean this for this season? I'm sorry to interrupt. You mean for this season, or you think Street Fighter V is like Capcom Pro Tour is ending
for the 2018 okay. stretch up until Capcom Cup? Like, you could say we're kind of entering like this last like stretch here, and so this is going to be an important tournament because you know it's one of I think there are like 4 or 5 premieres left. But the turnout, it's like there are plenty of big names. In fact, the first 25, I think like Kazunoko is like the 25th seed if the Smash GG organization does indeed show by seeds. But there are only 263 players in the event right now, which I don't know, that feels a little bit low. I'm not certain. I haven't looked at the specific numbers for a lot of these events and whatnot, but some of the notable pools, like to give you an idea of how hard it's going to be to get out of pools, the first one has Myers, Fujimura, and Toy. So, and that's kind of standard. There's going to be like 1 to 2 like big bad killers, and then a couple of like you cannot sleep on them ever type of players. Another one has Chris CCH, Commander Jesse, Filipino Man, and Fudo. But the one that I found that was the most stacked is Daigo, Kazunoko, 801 Strider, Rob TV, and then Chris Wynn and 8 Grade. 8 Grade's an Akuma player from Mexico. Doesn't travel a ton, but he's you know worth bringing up. So it's going to be very competitive from the get-go, as we've seen with most premieres in Street Fighter V. There are plenty of really big names, but not everyone. Like I don't think I saw Shen's name, for instance, and a handful others. But you're still going to have you know your Tokido, Fujimura, Daigo, Kazunoko, Itabashi, Fudo, those kind of guys. So it'll be what you expect for a traditional premiere. Maybe 1 or 2 big names missing, but it should be nonstop action from the get-go all weekend long and totally worth watching. So,
awesome. Who you got to win it?
I mean, it's so hard to predict Street Fighter V. You know, like you could go with the obvious pick from at least earlier in this year, which would be Tokido. But when's the last time he took it down, you know? And he's still very much there and in top eights, but he doesn't always win. So it's all over the place, man. I really can't put my money on anyone specific. Like, you know, you can say a name, but like with not a ton of faith behind it.
Okay. Steve, why don't you close us out on a high note with your last preview?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Injustice because SCR is the final stop on the Injustice Pro Series this year. And this tournament is going to be nuts. There's only 61 entrants as of right now, but this is pretty much all killer, no filler. The entire top 16 of the IPS standings are in the field. And they're all snaked in terms of pools. So you've got in one pool Irish Mantis and Honeybee along with Tweety and Nubcakes and White Boy in there as well. That's going to be a nuts pool. If you look at, like I said, as of right now, Happy Pow and Tekken Master are the last two players in the finals field right now. And they're both in pool 4 along with Rewind and Sonic Fox. So for either of them to really gain a bunch of points and feel safe is going to be a tough task. That leaves the door open for guys like Scar and Big D, who are right on the outside, even Nubcakes. If any of them can make a run into top 8, there's a good chance they can play their way in to the field. But with as well as Tweety has been playing throughout the season, it is going to be a tough task for anyone far outside to get, you know, first or second and make that big leap. So the race is going to be right around that 10 through 15 spot, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they still haven't revealed Mortal Kombat X, considering that we already announced it. You'd think that like right after we did that, they would post it.
They're a little behind.
Yeah, that's weird. Well, how much is on the stake here, money-wise, for IPS or Injustice Pro Series?
I forget how much it is.
Well, in that case...
But it is 250 points to the winner.
Okay, but let's disregard that and end the show on this clip that I need you to set up for us, Steve. What's going on here?
Oh, this was one of the biggest mix-ups to ever take place at the mix-up. This is Ru Kang and Kudans in pool play. Kudans gets the win, and Ru Kang has trouble finding him. just those Korean sidesteps are too much for him to handle.
That's funny. All right, guys. Thank you to everybody who watched. Thank you for everybody who followed, subbed, and thank you to our podcast listeners on SoundCloud and iTunes. Let us know what you think about the use of the "Hey, we're black in here," or "I'm black in here." If we should get rid of it forever and ruin the fun for everybody watching live, but make it more enjoyable experience for those listening, or not. This has been Best of Five, Efren, Mike, Steve, and John.
Thanks for watching, guys. I don't really hate you.
I love you guys, and that's not just the painkillers talking.
We will see you next week.